We have no one here. This is the first time in 9 years that I know that we have not had someone to play music. But that's okay. We will make it through. Just to give you a little taste of what's coming up this summer, though, we have several different people who are going to be accompanying us. And one is actually going to be using the organ, and we haven't heard that for over 2 years. So it will be nice to have somebody playing the organ again. But today it's going to be on us. And so in the words of that immortal carpenter's tune, what we need to do today is sing a song, sing out loud, sing out strong. That's what I want from all of you today. Singing out strong, singing out loud. Don't worry if it's not good enough for anyone else to hear. We want you to sing. So you are going to be our musicians today. Please take time to fill in your information on the friendship sheet and pass it down through the aisle and then back to the middle. We have a few announcements today. If you look at your sheet and your bulletin, you'll see that we have an adult summer study that started this morning in the boardroom at 9 o'clock. It will be covering the book of Titus. Also, Lunch Bunch is going to be meeting this Thursday. A deadline is approaching for Fall Feast. We are hosting this year. That is our biannual regional assembly, and it will be here in September. So please get registered for that. Early bird registration. Do we have a date on when early bird ends? Okay, don't know. But you can find out by calling the office, hopefully. And final registration is August 31st. Okay. Iris Clubhouse is holding a fundraiser this Wednesday, June 6th, at Pizza Ranch from 5 to 8. So we'd love to have you come and eat with the group. Anytime you go in there, some of the proceeds will go to Iris Clubhouse. And that is that the NAMI Clubhouse, right? Is that correct? No. They are separate things, okay. But this is for people with mental health issues, correct? Okay. If you have any questions, you can talk to Becky, but she would love to see you Wednesday at Pizza Ranch. Are there any other announcements? Yes, Debbie. So just be here next Saturday. No, nobody here is next Saturday. Okay, so Sovereign Grace is making the sandwiches. We will not need help for sandwich ministry next Saturday morning, okay? On a personal note, I would like to say thank you. Today is the 9th anniversary for Cindy and I being in this church. And we are so appreciative. Oh, thanks, stop. But we are just so appreciative of the love and hospitality that we've been shown over the past 9 years. And I just felt that we needed to recognize that. So thank you very much. If there are no other announcements, our opening hymn and our closing hymn, is that correct, are going to be up on the screen. The numbers are in the bulletin as well, but my understanding is that the words on the screen may be different than in the bulletin. So if you can follow the bullet or the screen rather than the bulletin, or it's going to sound like babble out there, and that's okay too. So, but please join us as we sing Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Please stand. Oh, first of all, let's go and gather and meet each other, all right, before we start. Music here. By the way, I just also wanted to say congratulations to all of our graduates. You'll notice I've got green and black. Oh. Right? Wanted to do a combo. I would have worn my orange shirt, but I don't have white pants. Didn't really want to look like Pat Boone. The ones who just graduated from high school would be like, who is that? All right. Please join me in our call to worship. O God, who gives treasure to be carried in earthen vessels,
remind us of your precious gift.
Holy Spirit, breath of life, breathe in us again.
That our souls' dry conscience may be reshaped alive in you.
O Christ, in your life broken on the cross, we are made whole. Please pray with me. Lord, you ask us to make a joyful noise unto all the earth. And how can we not, when we have you in our lives? As broken and as hurting as we might be, you lift us up, you cradle us, and you care for us from birth until death. And we are so blessed, even though this gift is undeserving. We ask you to be with us today, especially as we lift up in prayer the prayer that your Son taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We will now say the Gloria Patri. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. I would invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing. I think we at least have one kiddo here today. If anyone else wants to come up, they're welcome. Hi, Blake. You know, I had kind of thought that maybe we would sing during children's time today. But I'm not sure that I feel like just doing a duet with just you and me singing. What do you think? You want to sing or you want to talk? You want to talk. Cool. Let's talk about what's happening in your big brother's life. Can you tell everybody what your big brother just did this week?
Played soccer.
He plays soccer a lot, doesn't he? Yep. Has he played his last soccer game as a high school student?
Yes.
Yeah, and why was that his last soccer game as a high school student?
I don't know.
You don't know. You know, there's something called graduation. When you get to the end of high school, they have this thing called graduation. Did you go and watch him graduate?
Yes.
Yeah. How was it?
Good.
It was good? Was it, like, really short?
Kind of.
Kind of. Well, see, I know that he graduated from Kelly Walsh High School. And I know that the principal at Kelly Walsh at graduation says something about every single student. So probably what he said about your brother was short. But probably by the time he talked about every single student, graduation might have felt a little longer. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else about graduation and your brother you want to say?
Mm-mm.
I think that there was a party at your house.
There was.
Tell people what the party was like. Woo! Tell people what the party was like.
It was fun, and all of Dylan's friends come to our house.
All of Dylan's friends came to your house. There were a lot of teenagers there, and then a few old grown-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Like the pastor and her husband showed up, and some teachers and some relatives and some neighbors, yeah. What was the food at the party? You remember?
No.
Well, I had a burger, and I think Charles had a brat.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I know.
Yeah. And then were there some potato chips?
Uh-huh.
And there were some cupcakes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was kind of a nice party. Yeah. I think you have been pretty blessed to have a good big brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he is pretty blessed to have a good little brother and little sister. You just have a wonderful family.
Mm-hmm.
And our whole congregation is so proud of Dylan and of all of our graduates. Yesterday, another of our graduates, Brady Hover, got his Eagle Award, mm-hmm. and that was a really nice ceremony too.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to pray for all the graduates that their future is good and that they are faithful to God and they learn and grow and do their very best in life as they grow up. And one of these days, you're going to graduate from high school and have a party, and we'll celebrate you too.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. Would you pray with me for the graduates?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dear God, we ask you to watch over all of your children. We pray today especially for young people embarking on new adventures, for high school graduates who will go forth into the world to study further at college, to find jobs, to work and to live and to begin doing that thing called adulting. Lord, we pray your blessing upon each and every one as they go forth. Bless all of our children to know you, to love you, and to serve you. In Christ's name, all God's people said, amen. Thanks for hanging out with me, bud. On the back of your bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer concerns. And as we share these together, I encourage you to reach into the pew rack in front of you and take out a prayer card, write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today, and then place that in the offering tray later in the service. Our card tower this morning is for Emma Crawford. She is one of our older members who, just because of age and health, it's difficult to get here for worship sometimes. So a note letting her know that we miss her and pray God's blessing upon her this summer. Some additions to the prayer list. Pam Rouse has asked for prayers for Jim, who has cancer and is getting a pacemaker put in to deal with some AFib issues. Amber French has a job interview on Wednesday. Her job in the school system is changing, and she's looking for a different position, so we pray that that goes well and that God will open a door for new opportunities for her to use her skills. Paul Smith has asked us to pray for his wife, Melanie Elaine Cecilia White. She lives at Poplar Living Center. She struggles with both dementia and mental illness. Paul is fortunate to be able to take the CATSE bus every day to go visit with Melanie, and we pray God's blessing upon her and upon others who struggle with dementia. The missionary we're lifting up today is Kahala Cannon, who serves in India. We continue to pray for Officer Carlson as he recovers from a shooting, and for other members of the first responders in our community. We pray for the residents of Hawaii who are struggling with continuing volcanic eruption and the threat that is making to homes and lives. Prayers for those affected by severe storms. We continue to pray for the people of Puerto Rico recovering from last year's hurricane and for those who will be threatened by hurricanes this year. In the past week, there have been tornadoes and floods. Wildfire season is beginning. There's a fire burning near Durango in southern Colorado and one in a remote area in northern New Mexico. We pray for all those affected by natural disasters. Our prayer partners this morning are the members of First Christian Church in Sheridan, Wyoming. They include our own Amanda Dowler Curlin and her husband John, John and Sharon Lansing, who used to attend chapel, who've moved back to Sheridan and are members there, and Pastor Doug Goodwin. If you'd like to send greetings to those folks, there's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you're encouraged to sign. Are there other concerns today, joys we want to name? Tom May has a joy. A lot to hold in prayer for Tom rejoicing at the birth of a baby boy, Nicholas. Prayers for his boss and friend who lost everything in a house fire. And prayers for safe travels as Tom goes to Washington for several bowling tournaments. Paul. Prayers for Bryant Badger as he struggles with pain in his knee, damage to a meniscus. Linda. Prayers for the family of Gibson McCracken, who died at 3 months. Dan.
For a good friend of mine and co-worker. We've worked together since 1986. And just a few years ago, he worked alongside me while we donated work to this church. Dan Hamminger is now having heart problems.
Prayers for Dan Hamminger as he has heart problems. Let us bring all these prayers to the Lord in a time of shared silence. Almighty and gracious God, we marvel at the glory of your presence in creation. Lord, we humbly come before you, aware that each of us lives within an earthen vessel, a frail human form. We pray for those who struggle with the clay jar that holds their soul. We pray for those who need physical and mental healing, those who need health and strength. Lord, we lift to you prayers for Dan Hamminger as he struggles with heart issues. We pray for Paul's wife, Melanie, for Bryant as his knee is causing excruciating pain. Lord, we ask for your healing presence to watch over Jim as he struggles with cancer and heart issues. We join with Tom in praying for a friend who lost a home in a fire. Prayers of rejoicing for the birth of little Nicholas. And prayers of safe travel as he travels to Washington. O good and gracious God, your love abounds. We pray for your abundant love to surround and sustain the McCracken family. The overwhelming grief they feel at the loss of little Gibson is beyond words. Oh God, we pray for peace to comfort them and all who mourn. We thank you, Lord, for opening doors of new opportunity for graduates and for others. We pray for Amber as she interviews on Wednesday that her conversation will go well, that she may present herself as the strong, intelligent, capable candidate she is for this position. Lord, we thank you for the gift of sharing in ministry with others around the world. We pray your blessing upon Kahala Cannon serving in India, Doug Goodwin, and the members of First Christian in Sheridan. Lord, we lift prayers to you for all those that we have named today, people affected by storms, by conflict, people struggling, people living lives of hope centered on you. Oh God, may your light shine through us to reach the darkest corners of the world, that others, because of our lives, may come to know Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We will have a prayer song and a time of reflection. The song is "Give Me Jesus." You're invited to sing along if you choose, or simply reflect on the words as they are on the screen. We're having technical difficulties.
Jesus. give me Jesus.
And the people said, Amen. Amen. God gives us Jesus. God gives us Jesus in the words of Scripture. God gives us Jesus in the lives of Christians lived faithfully around the world and across the ages. God gives us Jesus at the Lord's table. All who are gathered for worship are invited to share in communion. During the summer months, you're invited to come forward by the center aisle, tear a piece of the bread and dip it in the cup and partake, and then return by the side aisle to your seat. If you prefer not to come forward and you want to remain seated, communion will be offered to you where you are. As you come forward, you're asked to bring your tithes, your prayers, your offerings to share with the Lord. Place them in the trays at the front of the sanctuary. Give me Jesus. It's a simple request. On Easter Sunday, I was in El Paso, Texas, in the intensive care unit with my father. My sister and brother are both elders at First Christian Church in Las Cruces, New Mexico. We had decided that day when we were going to visit Dad that because it was Sunday and because it was Easter, we wanted to share communion together. And so we stopped at a small grocery store on the way out of town and picked up a loaf of bread and a small bottle of juice. On the drive down, my sister started telling a story about communion at her church. One Sunday, they were having communion by intinction like we will today, and people were coming forward and taking bread and dipping it in the cup. A little boy in the church came forward with his mom's, and he tore off a big hunk of bread. One of the mothers, I think, was a little embarrassed. She wanted to make sure there would be plenty of bread for everyone else who was there, and she was trying to teach him church etiquette, and she said, "Oh, honey, just take a little piece." And he said, "No, I want more, Jesus." That afternoon on Easter Sunday, my sister repeated the story to my dad. And he said, "Yeah, I want more Jesus too." So we all took a big hunk of bread that day as we shared communion together. This morning, I don't know the state of your soul. A little bit of Jesus might be just enough. But if you need more Jesus, it's okay today to take a big bite of bread. Open your heart to the presence of God's love as we share in the feast. We'll prepare for the Lord's Supper by singing together, "Let Us Break Bread Together." Amber will lead us. The words will be on the screen and in your hymnal, and we'll be singing a cappella.
To the rising sun.
You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. God gave us Jesus. And Jesus gave us this meal. As you may recall, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread and, having given thanks, said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let us pray.
Dear God, on this beautiful Lord's Day morning, we give thanks that you are the very source of life and light and love. The Gospel of John reminds us that you loved our world and each of us so very much that you sent your only Son, Jesus, into the world to love us, to teach us, and ultimately to die for us. As we gather near this table this morning, we are mindful of the sacrifice Jesus made on our behalf, that we might find new life and hope and be reconciled to you. Now, as we prepare to participate in this moment of Holy Communion through the act of intinction, we pray that our hearts and our lives may be open to your very presence. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for this meal of forgiveness. And we thank you for letting us serve you with our time, with our talents, and with our treasures. Please use these gifts to further your kingdom here and throughout the world. Amen.
The scripture today is 1 Corinthians 4. Oh, 2 Corinthians, sorry. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 4. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's words. But by the open statement of truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
We continue reading. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, we thank you for the gift of your holy word. We pray that we may be blessed with understanding and live lives reflecting your meaning and purpose. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was talking with a friend this week who is getting ready to turn 50, and I asked her if that was going to be a difficult birthday for her. There are some people, perhaps especially some women, who feel a little challenged with specific milestones, and she said, 50 isn't an issue for me. She said, in our family, the challenge is 60. Her husband is 59, and his father died when he was 60 years old. She said, so that number has us a little nervous. I said, well, I guess in my family, the number's 82. My mom was 82 when she died in 2015, and my dad was 82 when he died earlier this spring. Now, if Dad were here, he would point out he was only 1 week shy of his 83rd birthday, but God called him home to heaven while he was still 82. The truth is, young or old, there is something that happens to every human being. There's one experience that we will share no matter what. There's no way to avoid it. No matter what country you live in, what language you speak, if you're rich or poor, educated or not, no matter what, if you're human,
at some time, you will die. It's just the way it is. There's nothing we can do about it. Now, generations ago, human lifespan was different than it is now. On the American frontier, you were lucky to make it to 60. Life was physically hard. There were all kinds of threats that in modern society we don't have to face. Nutrition was poor. So a lot of times people died when they were 40, 50. We're fortunate now to have better nutrition in our country, to have modern medicine, to know much more about health, and to even have the opportunity, if we choose, to take better care of ourselves. All of that helps us live a little bit longer, but even so, all of us one day will die. It seems to be God's plan and purpose to have made us this way so that we won't live forever, or at least not the physical part of us. This seems to be part of what Paul is hinting at in his letter to the church at Corinth, his second letter, where he says, we have this treasure in clay jars. He's talking about that human form, that body that each of us inhabits. The King James Version more poetically says that we have this precious treasure in earthen vessels. God has made us to have a physical form to hold something so much more intangible and so incredibly precious, to hold life itself. The breath of God, eternal light, chooses to dwell in us. There are some people who throughout their life find certain verses of Scripture that just speak to them. Some folks will even refer to having a life verse, a passage of Scripture that they memorize and they carry in their heart through all of their days. For some people, it's the 23rd Psalm, or for others, John 3:16. My mom's life verse was Romans 8:28. For some people, this verse, 2 Corinthians 4:7, is one of those gems of Scripture that is so precious and so filled with hope that they memorize it and carry it in their hearts. We have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. If we only focus on the clay jar part, it could actually kind of sound like a depressing verse. It's a reminder we're all going to die. Whether you're 82 or 60 or 105, sometime you're going to die. But as people of faith, we are blessed to know that when we do die, when our bodies cease to live, yet we live on. On that day, in that moment, when our hearts stop beating and our lungs stop breathing, our blood stops flowing, in that moment, the essence of who we are is transformed. As people of faith, we know that we'll leave this body behind like a vacant shell on the seashore. Our spirit will travel to be with God in eternity through the grace of Jesus Christ. This is why Paul calls us to proclaim Jesus, so that all the world might have hope, the hope of eternal life, the promise that there is more to life than just what you see, there is more to who you are than just your physical form. We have this treasure in clay jars, so that we will remember the extraordinary power and gift of life comes from God. It's not from us. Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, when you look at me and you see good ministry, you're actually seeing God through me. Paul knew that he was flawed. He spoke of having a thorn in his flesh more than once. And yet he did such incredible work in the early church that we still read his mail even today and ponder the letters that he wrote to the churches and to individuals like Titus and Timothy. Paul is saying, when you look at me and you see something good, it's not me, it's God in me. The extraordinary light of God is what Paul wants to proclaim. It is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God, who created the universe before time even existed, God who spoke and said, "Let there be light," God chooses to place that eternal light in you and in me. You would think such an incredible, perfect, precious gift needs a perfect vessel to carry it. And yet the Divine One in infinite wisdom has chosen frail human form to carry this eternal light. It's as if the most precious treasure imaginable, perhaps a pile of gold, instead of being stored in a bank vault, is put into a clay pot. God chooses to use you and I to reveal God's own self to the world. What a miracle and a mystery that is. I don't know about you, but there are days when I don't quite feel up to that task. You know, the God of all eternity wants to use me? You got to be kidding. Why doesn't God pick somebody more perfect, more beautiful, smarter, wiser, richer? Choose the adjective of the best superlative you can think of and send God in that direction. But instead, God chooses not one perfect person, but each and every one of us with all of our flaws. In fact, as beautiful as the King James Version of poetry is, when Paul says earthen vessels, I kind of like this reference to clay jars. It reminds us that perhaps each and every one of us on any given day, well, we're just a couple of cracked pots. And God uses those cracks in our lives to enter in. It's those places where the cracks split a little bit that God's light shines through. Think about it. On the day when you're struggling and you're hurting and you feel broken, you're much more apt to pray than when everything's going right. Perhaps that's human nature. Perhaps that's the way God made us. Perhaps God intentionally wants to be closest to us when we're hurting the most. Perhaps God wants to be closest to us when our wounds are the most visible. Certainly, that's when he was close to his son, Jesus, on the cross, the one perfect being God made. So when you and I are aware that we have sins and flaws and we are less than perfect and less than whole, it's in those broken places in our lives where God chooses to come and dwell, bringing a breath of eternity into a little mud blob, a little clay pot, a human form scooped up from the earth, chosen to be a vessel of the divine. We have this treasure in earthen vessels so that we remember it's not about us, it's about God. It's as if God, at the beginning of creation, when sending light out to spread across the universe, decided there needs to be a special window to capture that light. And so God made humanity, women and men in God's own image, to be like a window that God's light could shine through. If the window's too perfect, you focus on the window, you don't focus on the light. So those cracked places in our clay pots are where God's light shines through most brightly. Paul speaks of eternal treasure. He goes on to name that the apostles, we are afflicted in every way but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. Time and time again, Paul was imprisoned. He was physically beaten for his faith in Jesus. Every hardship he suffered brought him closer to the Lord. Perhaps it's to give encouragement to us on those days when it seems our bodies are going to fail us.
If you're 80 or 90, and maybe even if you're 50 or 60, you know what it's like to have bones that creak, a body that doesn't run quite as fast as it used to. In fact, maybe there are some times when you go to stand up and you can't quite do it without making that certain noise, you know, the little that you hope nobody else hears. Those are all reminders of the fact that you're a clay pot, a cracked pot, an earthen vessel. You're a finite, limited human form. Even our new high school graduates, who seem so young and vibrant and full of life, even for them, life won't last forever. There will come a day when God will call them home to heaven. We hope and pray it's many decades from now, and in the meantime, they have much to do and to learn, many ways to serve, and to witness to the presence of God. But even in the young, death already begins. Human cells decay. They're replaced, but not quite as good as they used to be. The human form declines just a little bit. And perhaps we're too busy in our daily lives to even notice until that morning you wake up and look in the mirror and all of a sudden, what happened? Who's that old guy looking back at you? Where'd those wrinkles come from? How'd that hair get so gray? What's that funny little mole doing getting bigger than it used to be? It used to kind of be cute. It was a beauty mark. And now, well, it looks like an old witch's wart. Maybe no one else even sees those flaws, but when you look in the mirror, that's what you see. All the ways in which you seem to be falling apart. The hair that's missing and the hair that's growing out of places you don't want it to grow. Oh my goodness, put a bag over your head. And yet to God, that vessel that you are is beautiful. For it carries eternal light and love. You see, when you and I look in a mirror, all we see is that physical face in front of us. But when God holds us up and looks at us face to face, we become a mirror to God. And we shine back God's own love, God's creative energy, and God's eternal light. In each one of us, God sees the potential to be born into the world, the face of Christ. My friends, even with all of our cracks and our wrinkles and our brokenness, we get to proclaim Jesus. We get to take the gift of Jesus that we've been given and share it with others. So that when someone looks at you, at me, when someone looks at our lives, and they see something good, perhaps just a hint or a glimmer, they're not actually seeing us, they're seeing God shine through us. They're seeing Jesus living through us. When they look at our cracked pot, that we all know each one of us is less than perfect, when the world looks at us and can actually see through the cracks in us to God's light, what joy and wonder there is. It gives them hope that their cracked pot can carry God's light and love too. While we live, Paul says, we are always being given up to death. It may happen just naturally, one cell at a time, one year at a time. Or in Paul's case, it may be hastened along by martyring tasks for the faith. But while we live and we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, even so, the life of Jesus is made visible in our mortal flesh. When my dad was in the hospital in El Paso, after he'd had his two brain surgeries, I looked at him and saw all of his bumps and wrinkles. His hair was grayer than the last time I'd seen him. His teeth were a little more crooked because his plate was sitting on the nightstand instead of in his mouth. And I thought I had never seen anything so beautiful. When you look through the eyes of love,
you see the inside of earthen vessels. The world looks at Christians and sees a couple of crackpots, people who are crazy for Christ. If we share God's love with them, they get to see not just the outside bumps and bruises, but the inside glory of God. That isn't us. It's actually God in us. This week, my friends, I invite you some morning when you have a little extra time or middle afternoon, late evening, look in the mirror and love yourself with all your bumps and wrinkles, your bald spots and extra hair. Smile and laugh at the roadmap of your face that reveals the life you have lived so far, and then look a little bit deeper and see if you can what God sees, that glimmer of light within you that is holy. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn today is "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." The words will be up on the screen, or you're welcome to follow along in your hymnal. If there's anyone here this morning who is needing to walk more closely with Christ and you want to come forward and either join this church or give your heart to the Lord, you're invited to do so. Let's stand and sing.
there's a time of fellowship waiting for us downstairs. There's refreshments and coffee. I hope that you'll stay, have a drink, have a conversation with a friend. Make a new friend before you head out and enjoy the rest of this beautiful day God has given us in Wyoming. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Oh Lord Jesus, in you we find our shelter and our refuge. In you, our brokenness, our cracks, our sins are healed and made whole. This week, Holy One, we pray that your light will shine through our lives, that we might proclaim Jesus Christ and proclaim you boldly to the world. And now, O God, bless your people with peace as we go forth to love and to serve, to proclaim in word and deed our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.